Blog Talk Radio.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no war, when we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth. Someday
I had to let that one run all the way through. It just made sense. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Thursday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I am your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you're having a fantastic Thursday. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you happen to follow along via the Twitter machine, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. Remember, if you can't catch us live, we're available on iTunes. You go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, write a little review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. Also, for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. And today on Facebook, as you're listening, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. After today's show, I will post the question that we hope to play for Friday's show. I know it's kind of last minute, but if we can't do it Friday, then we'll do it next week before we take a little Christmas vacation. But facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. Go there, like the show page. You know, there you'll find links to past shows, news updates on what we're working on, and then, like I said, we'll be doing, like, forum topics and polls and get you guys' input, you know, feedback, discussion, dialogue, so on and so forth. Okay. Trial one of the six officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray earlier this year reached its conclusion, well, the first one did anyway, yesterday, and Officer William Porter goes free. Hung jury. The jury couldn't agree on any of the charges. not, you know, reckless endangerment, not manslaughter, none of that other stuff. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Is it even worth it put the is it even worth it to put the other five on trial? I guess I would say so, because I mean they've already been charged. I mean, unless District Attorney Marilyn Mosby doesn't strike me as the type to just drop anchor. You know, she's not gonna, you know, give up and say F it. But at the same time, it has to be discouraging. Because, I mean, there's witness accounts. I mean, the man is dead. What more do you need? What more does a jury need? I don't know. I don't know what else the jury could possibly want to convict the guy, but if you're a defense attorney for the other five officers and you know your trial date is coming up, you have to be really, really, really confident. Because all you have to do is just look back and say, well, you know, there are six officers that are charged and one has already, you know, been proven to not be responsible for Mr. Gray's death. What more else do you need to, you know, acquit my client? And defense attorneys, I'm not going to say all defense attorneys are slime bags, but the ones, you know, that are defending these officers will probably be slime bags to the hilt. You know, they're already forming their defense about how Freddie Gray was no angel and all that. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing to think that, you know, after all the fight that people have done to see justice for Freddie Gray and countless others who have somehow ended up dead in police custody, for this to turn out the way it is really, really discouraging. Really discouraging. And, of course, you know, with the protesting last night, you know, Baltimore police, you know, continued. It was almost like they were vindicated and rejuvenated in some sense. That they just, you know, said, okay, now we're going to go right back to brutalizing you jackasses. Now that one of you guys has gotten off. One of our guys has gotten off. And I'm not calling protesters jackasses. I'm just speaking from the police officer's point of view, because that's probably how they view a lot of people in the city. Like they've been, you know, defiant in their disrespect of the city, of D.A. Mosby and many others. And I didn't think that was going to stop, you know, once Officer Porter was found. I'm not going to say not guilty, or I'll just say he just walked free. So, disappointing result, but there are still five officers left to be tried. Maybe at some point, you know, one of these guys will get convicted or whatever, but I don't know. I really don't know. It's discouraging, I'll tell you that much, to everyone that fought, you know, so hard in the streets, you know, protesting or even, as Dr. King once said, rioting is the language of the unheard. You can't even really call it riots. You can just call it people being upset that, you know, we're being manhandled. Simply put, being manhandled. It's very discouraging. But I guess, you know, you just have to keep going. You just have to keep going. And, it's not lost on me that this could happen anywhere at any time. I've had exactly one traffic stop in the last 3 years. And it just happened in March. And it made me nervous. Like, I literally thought, because number one, it was dark. It was raining, and because, you know, I couldn't, you know, get the defroster to move fast enough, I couldn't see anything. So maybe I did run a stop sign. I don't know. But all I know is I saw the red and blue lights blaring behind me, and I just said, okay, wonder how this is going to go. So So the cop really wasn't, you know, an asshole, or he didn't ask me to step out of the car or didn't do anything to me. Obviously, I'm still here to tell the story. But that's always going to be in the back of your mind as a black man in general, as a black person in general. Because let's not forget, we're still waiting to see what the Texas judges are going to, the Texas grand jury is going to say about Sandra Bland's death. But to be black in this country is just to have a target on your back at all times. Always. You're always looking over your shoulder. You always have your head on a swivel. You can't just be in this country if you're black. It's very annoying. It's hurtful. It's stressful. It ain't a good time. It ain't a good time. Trust me, when I run in the morning, I run down around the Riverfront District here in Wilmington, Delaware, and there are white women that will still kind of like cross the street or clutch their purses, and I'm like, lady, I'm trying to lose this weight. I ain't thinking about you, okay? You know, it's irritating to think that just the color of your skin can unnerve people to either make them very afraid of you or just hate your very existence. There's no in between. There's no B through Y. It just goes A to Z real quick. Either they scared of you or they hate you and they want you dead. That's what it's like to be black in this country. No gray area, just black and white. Very disappointing, very frustrating. But I don't think that's going to stop, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement or anything. If anything, it's probably going to strengthen their resolve, because it's weird in a way, because you get one victory for black people when Daniel Holtzclaw was found guilty on rape charges of black women in Oklahoma City last week, and then 6 days later you get a kick in the pants and a punch in the gut, you know, when one of the officers charged in Freddie Gray's death, you know, walks free. I guess under Maryland law, he could have a second trial. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about a second trial yet. Maybe he will be ordered to stand trial a second time. Maybe he won't. I don't know. I really don't know. But all we as black people have ever asked for is just for us to live our lives. And, you know, be afforded the same opportunities as everybody else in this country. Mind you, we weren't, you know, we didn't come, you know, coming over here, you know, by our own volition. We were pretty much dragged over here. Trolla lying was what I wanted to say. There we go. I don't know where I got trolla from, because trolla has nothing to do with that, but trolla lie. Yeah, we didn't trolla lie over here, mind you. We were pretty much dragged over here. And then since we were dragged over here, and even after we were quote-unquote free, we said, well, might as well stay and see if we can make this work. Some 150 years later, it still ain't working. It still ain't working. But what can we do? But try to stick this out and survive and try to make a better way for ourselves, even though the majority of the people in this country that make up this country don't want that to happen, don't want to see us successful and happy and thriving or even breathing. And this is, I mean, I don't think this is the last we've heard of this situation. Obviously, five more officers are due to stand trial, as I said before, but it's just really, you know, discouraging and depressing to think that this could just be one of the dominoes that, you know, knocks the other five down and then we're back to square one again. And square one is not a good place to be if you're black. Simple and plain. On to the next subject, Thursday night football, it really doesn't look like much of a matchup on paper, granted because it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the St. Louis Rams, who could possibly be the Los Angeles Rams by this time next year. But it's got an interesting matchup on both sides of the offensive side of the ball for both teams, because these are your two top guys, in my opinion, for the Offensive Rookie of the Year Award. That would be Bucks QB Jameis Winston and Rams running back Todd Gurley III. Excuse me. I've been coughing a lot as of late. I'm sorry. Matter of fact, let me drink some water right while I'm sitting here. Okay. All right, I think we're better now. Jameis has pretty much done what a number one pick at QB should do for a franchise. You know, the Bucks won a grand total of 3 games last year. Sorry. 2, actually, if I'm not mistaken. But here they are now, 6-7. Outside shot. I mean, it's not looking really good right now because you got Minnesota at 8-5. You got Seattle at 8-5. But they're not that far away. You know, one of those teams, more than likely Minnesota, could just drop, just fall, have the bottom fall out, and Tampa Bay could jump in and take their spot. But Jameis himself has had a fantastic year. Over 3,000 yards passing. 58% completion percentage. 18 touchdown passes. 11 interceptions. Not that many. 24 sacks. So the Bucs have done a decent job of protecting him so far, only allowing about a sack or two a game of him. He's also third on the team in rushing with close to 200 yards rushing and 5 rushing touchdowns. He's everything you could ask for in a rookie QB, even with the shadow hanging, even with the cloud of, you know, being possibly being a rapist hanging over his head. And here's the thing about that, really quickly before I get back to the football side of things. You always go with a victim statement, always, in a rape case, until proven otherwise. So I'm not gonna sit here and, you know, act like Jameis couldn't possibly have done this. That's not, you know, something I'm never gonna be one of those guys that says, well, you know, women ask for it by the way they dress or the way they act and so on or so forth. And that's not the way you should do things, in my opinion. So I mean, Jameis has that cloud hanging over his head for me. It's okay to, you know, admire what he's done on the football field, because what he's done has rejuvenated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a major way. No mistake in that. But everything else, it's kind of, you know, helter-skelter about him. But, you know, until the facts come out, I mean, if it eventually comes out that he did this, then he has to pay. Or if it comes out that he didn't do it, then we can move on. But back to what he's done on the field. He's been very impressive for Tampa Bay. And if Tampa Bay can somehow, it's going to be tough. They have, you know, I think they have after this Atlanta and Carolina and the Falcons, you know, as sorry as they are going to be in desperation mode. And the Panthers, you know, are probably going to want to end their 2015 season on a high note, possibly 16-0. Actually, I'm wrong. The Buccaneers host the Bears next Sunday, and then they're at Carolina on January 3rd. So these next 3 games are not easy, especially against a Rams defense that, you know, might be the brightest thing they have going other than the young man I'm about to talk about next, which is Todd Gurley III, the only player in NFL history with 125 rushing yards in each of his first 4 starts. And this is coming from a kid, mind you, that blew out his knee, not even at the beginning of the 2014 college football season, but somewhere towards the end. This isn't one of those injuries where you just, you know, have surgery, do the rehab, you know, a couple months you'll be back. This is about a 6 to 8 month, possibly even 8 to 10 month injury. Somehow, though, Todd Gurley III has stepped in. I mean, give as much as I hate to give Jeff Fisher credit for anything because he's one of the most overrated coaches in NFL history, give him credit for putting Gurley out on the field, you know, and giving him a chance to show what he can do. And even on a knee that, that Gurley himself admits is not completely 100% yet. He said early in the season when he was on that 125 tear, he was closer to 85%. But what he's been able to do with an 85% knee health issue, very impressive. Closing in on 1,000 yards rushing, I think, you know, only a few handful of rookies have done that for the Rams. I can almost guarantee you the great Eric Dickerson did it, and probably Steven Jackson as well. And Jerome Bettis, yeah, that's pretty elite company to be in. I mean, granted, you know, unless some catastrophe falls him, he will probably get that 1,000 yards tonight because he's at 975. Very talented kid, you know, and for him to make it back from that type of injury says a lot. If the Rams were a better team, I think this would be a closer race for Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's clearly between those two. You probably could make a case for Amari Cooper with the Oakland Raiders, but that's even, you know, that's either one or two. I mean, but actually, I don't even think Cooper's a rookie. I'll take that back. But actually, yeah, he is. I'm sorry. But it's between Jameis and Todd Gurley. And if Jameis' team somehow gets in the playoffs, which is a possibility, I think Jameis should get the award. But if they finish, if the Bucs finish 8-8, which is probably what they're going to finish, and, you know, Gurley gets to 1,000 yards and then some, then you have a better discussion. Either way, they've injected some life into their franchises. You know, the Bucs, you know, are kind of, you know, working their way back to their 2000s decade, you know, when they won division titles, made it to Super Bowls, won Super Bowls, and so on. The Rams, meanwhile, they probably won't even be in St. Louis next year. They'll probably be one of the two or three, depending on who you talk to, teams that end up taking that Los Angeles Stadium deal. And that's originally where the Rams came from St. Louis. They actually started out as the Cleveland Rams back in around the end of World War II. Then they moved to Los Angeles in the 50s. Then they moved to St. Louis in 1995. And then, of course, it looks like they're heading back to Los Angeles because they were the first West Coast team in the NFL. Well, actually, them and the 49ers. The Rams and the Niners both entered the NFL around the same time, so. But other than that, should be a good game tonight. You know, you got good defenses on both sides. You got exciting offensive rookies, you know, to look at. And for once, I mean, I like to keep this streak going because we've had three straight really good Thursday night games. We had Green Bay, Chicago, Thanksgiving weekend. We had, of course, had the Hail Mary, you know, from the Packers at Detroit to start the month of December, and then, of course, last Thursday, the Cardinals barely holding on to Vikings 23-20. So we'd like to have a nice little month run of, four-week run of good Sunday night on Thursday night games. So hopefully that's what we get, you know, going forward. But only time will tell. This could be one of those games where, you know, Nick Foles makes enough mistakes to where the Buccaneers defense turns a couple of fumbles or picks into touchdowns, and then it's just like, okay, we're bored again. So what do we do? You know, what else is on TV? And for us Scandal fans and How to Get Away, and the folks that watch How to Get Away with Murder, there's nothing. So we'll just be sitting around looking kind of bored. But I'll watch. I mean, I've had freelance work the last two nights, and for, you know, for me to have that on back-to-back nights really isn't my idea of fun, but it's money, so tonight, I'm definitely going to be relaxed, and I don't know if it's going to be football or listening to the radio or finally finishing up my vision board for 2016. I don't know, but it'll probably be football. I'll probably have the game on while I'm doing all of that other stuff, as I said. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything today. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, oh, I forgot to give you a prediction. I can't close out yet before I, you know, say who I think is going to win the game. Tampa Bay's offense is just a little, Tampa Bay's quarterback situation is just a little bit better than St. Louis, than the Rams' quarterback situation. And once again, Chip Kelly, he knew that Nick Foles was a flash in the pan. And Nick Foles has proven himself to be a flash in the pan. So, I will take Tampa Bay by the slimmest of margins. I'll take them 17-14, which is usually the variety of game they win more often than not, even though they can score some points. This is going to be a defensive struggle, but I really think Tampa has the juice to get it done. Okay, now we can sign off. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything this Thursday morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you're listening. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/ Chris Stevens on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Don't forget the Facebook page where we'll post our Facebook poll question later on today, probably around 2 or 3 p.m. Eastern time. So all you got to do is go to facebook.com/ All Subjects Everything and check it out there. Tomorrow we will probably recap this game and, you know, we'll talk about our poll topic, which I will post in the next couple of hours. So y'all enjoy your Thursday, and then we'll speak to you on Friday. Until then, y'all be good or be good at it.
And Santa put gifts under Christmas trees.